You may be seated. Thank you for standing for so long. As we made mention and have been making mention each week on these Sunday nights, the purpose of these messages is to build our faith. I talk to people before and they say, I don't have any faith. Brother Mark, I want to make sure I'm not muted out on this. Amen. There I go. Amen. I've talked to people before and they said, I don't have any faith. And I know what they mean. What they mean is, my faith is small. Don't we all feel that way sometimes? That your faith is a little small, amen? But by the way, we've said over and over as we look at the Bible and we look at this passage, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's Romans chapter 10, verse 17. If you want to have more faith, bury your nose in this book, amen. Get in God's Word and listen, God will give you more. But folks that say, I have no faith, listen, the Bible says in Romans 12:3 that God hath appointed unto man, every man, the measure of faith. You know what? There's enough faith inside of us to trust Jesus Christ as our Savior. There's enough faith. And by the way, once you appropriate that faith, God grows that faith and He gives us more faith to trust Him. By the way, isn't it hard to trust somebody? Listen, that's not an easy thing to give away your trust. And listen, God knows that. And so that's why He gives us His Word, and He proves Himself, how I've proved Him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh for grace to trust Him more. Amen. So we've been doing this series and the idea of building our faith. We started 11 messages ago on the journey of faith in verses 1 through 3. And we talked about that. And then we talked about the faith of Abel and the way of Abel's faith and the worth and the witness and the wonder. And then we looked at the faith of Enoch and how he walked with God and he pleased God and he was rewarded by God. And then our fourth message was on Noah and how Noah received the warning of God. Remember, God told Noah it was going to rain. He was going to flood the earth. And he received that warning and he began to walk with God and he moved with fear. And can I say this, ladies and gentlemen, tonight, I know there's not much of it in the world, but God is still to be feared. The one who spoke everything into existence is not to be approached flippantly or lightly. Amen. Now, thank God we can come to Him boldly. Through the blood of Christ, we can come and offer our petitions and claim His promises. But, boy, I'll tell you, there's a segment of Christianity where Jesus and God is the old man upstairs. Not here, amen, and not in the Bible. So he preached the Word of God. He obeyed the voice of God. We know that about Noah. Then we took two messages and talked about the faith of Abraham and how he listened to God's promise and he lived by God's promise and he looked for God's promise. That was that verse we took time to mention there. He looked for a city whose builder and maker is God. Then in our second message on Abraham, we talked about the thrill of Abraham's faith and how it was based on the frailty of man. You remember Abraham was 100 and Sarah was 90 when God said, you're going to have a baby. Think about that, moms. And all the mothers just started laughing. Can you imagine 90 years old? Hey, guess what? You thought you were out of diapers 70 years ago, but you're back in them. Wow. And she had a baby. And the Bible says, of whom was as good as dead. You know what that means? 90 years old, that's about as good as dead considering having childbirth. But it wasn't based on the frailty of man. It was based on the ability of God. What God could do. She judged him faithful who had promised. And he who promised was God. So we talked about that. We talked about Abraham's testimony of faith. How it was in his family. And then we talked, obviously, the test of Abraham's faith when he offered up Isaac. Then we looked at the three patriarchs where it talked about the faith at death. We looked at the longing faith of Isaac and the leaning faith of Jacob and the liberating faith of Joseph. And then we looked at two very special people named Amram and Jochebed, Moses' parents.
And you find them in verse number 23 of our text. And what incredible faith they had. They had some practical conclusions, some powerful convictions, some personal courage, and then they saw providential care. You remember the story how Pharaoh had commanded all the male babies to be thrown into the river. And they hid him 3 months. It was as long as they could hide him. And they prepared a little ark, probably a lot like Noah's ark, pitched with slime, and they checked it to make sure it would hold the weight and it wouldn't sink, and they sent it down the river, and providentially, the world would say, by extreme coincidence, but there's no such thing. No such thing as coincidence. That little ark just happened to land at the Pharaoh's daughter's lap. And she opened it up, and I heard an old country preacher say, and God gave Moses a little pinch. And he cried, and her heart broke for that little baby. She picked him up, called him. Well, that's a providence of God. Amen. That's faith. The faith of Moses. By the way, parents, your kids need your faith. Listen to me. Your kids need your faith. I'm glad. And my crop's not in. My kids are, Eric's going to be 4 next month. Luke's 2. I'm glad my kids live in a home where cussing is not allowed. I'm glad my kids, by the grace of God, live in a home where liquor will never appear. I'm glad my kids live in a home where there's not drugs and all this other stuff. Hey, your kids need your faith. They need it. And then we looked at the second message on Moses, how he forsook the world. He forsook Egypt. He wasn't frightened by Pharaoh, and he feared God. He not only forsook the world, but he followed the word. And then he found the wonders. He saw the miracles. They crossed the Red Sea on dry ground. Tonight, we look at verse number 30, if you would. Verse number 30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 times. Our story is found in the book of Joshua. If you want to go back to the book of Joshua and go all the way back to the beginning of your Bible, you have Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and then you have the book of Joshua. And we'll just give you a quick overlay of the book of Joshua up to chapter number 6, which is where we'll take a lot of reading tonight. Joshua succeeds Moses as the leader of Israel in Joshua chapter 1. And it's wonderful. We'll look at it a little bit later, some of the promises around that. And then in Joshua chapter 2, Joshua sends the spies of Israel into the city of Jericho to find out the strategy of this enemy of God's people. Joshua chapter 3, you find the sudden and miraculous crossing of the Jordan River. I love that story, Brother Jeff. They had priests and they had the ark, and once they put their foot in, the waters parted. By the way, so many people could see God's blessing if they just get in with both feet. Amen. They just get in the work of God with both feet. Stop having 1 foot in and 1 foot out. I used to preach to teenagers all the time. Listen, you can't have 1 foot in the world and 1 foot in the church, but boy, how much worse is it to have 1 foot in the church half surrendered and have another foot in the other half surrendered? Listen, get in with both feet. Amen. That's faith. Amen. And you find that. Then in Joshua chapter 4, of course, they set up the memorial stones. And Joshua 4:9 says, and Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan in the place where the feet of the priests which bear the Ark of the Covenant stood. And they are there unto this day. And remember why he said to set up those stones, that when your children will ask you, what meaneth these stones? You could tell them this is where God did something awesome. I've got a picture on my phone of me. I remember it. Seems like it was yesterday. It was almost 20 years ago. There was some flooding in the Midwest, 1993. Some flooding in the Midwest, and it was a benefit rock concert for that flooding out in western Massachusetts in a city called Palmer. And the band I was in played at that benefit. My dad snapped a lot of pictures. And I've got this picture of myself. And here we are, Brother Boston. We're playing. And I've got this angry face on. because I'm playing the drums. And people say, are drummers really angry? No, we're in pain. We're in a lot of pain because it takes a lot to do all that stuff. We used to say, well, you know, how many singers does it take to screw in a light bulb? One. They hold it and the whole world revolves around them. Amen. Seems that way. Amen. Not the drummer. Here I was, and I was drumming at this concert, and here I had my long hair and had nothing to do with God, and I keep that picture, and I'll tell you why I keep that picture. First of all, to remember what I was without God, and to remind people of what God can do. You know what it is to me, Brother Horsch? It's 12 stones. That picture is 12 stones. What meaneth this? Let me just show you what God can do with your life if you surrender, if you just trust Him. Amen. Joshua chapter 5, it's tremendous. Look over at Joshua 5:1. What a verse that is. Find after they set up the stones and they come and they're getting ready to go into Jericho. Look at Joshua 5:1. It says, and it came to pass when all the kings of the Amorites which were on the side of Jordan westward, and all the kings of the Canaanites, which were by the sea, heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of Jordan from before the children of Israel until we were passed over, that their heart melted. Neither was their spirit in them anymore because of the children of Israel. You know, God promised to drive out the enemies, and He just brought this incredible fear. But boy, I'll tell you what. I'd like to get back to where God's people pray and live right and where they're afraid to open a liquor store. Amen. I'd like to get it to that point where God's people pray and the fear of the Lord comes on that pornographer and he says, I better go to a different town. So we come to Joshua chapter 6. It brings us to our text and our message. We see the foundational call of faith. Number one, the foundational call of faith. Hebrews 11:30 says, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. We see the promise of God's call. Hold your place there in Joshua chapter 6, but go back to Joshua chapter 1. You see the promise of God's call. And I want you to notice here, it's very, very important. Concerning God's call. Joshua 1:1, it says there, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give unto them, even the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. Down to verse 5. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Jump down to verse 9. Have I not commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. You see, folks, God promised that He would be with Joshua. See, God knows how frail we are in our faith. Maybe not you, but I am. He knows how frail we are. So He says to this leader who had seen Moses be murmured against, he'd seen people rise up against Moses, but he'd seen God's presence with Moses and God's power on Moses, and He says to Joshua, I'm going to be with you just like I was with Moses. Hey, Christian, you know what God said to you and I? We quoted it this morning, but it's important. I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. That's the same God. Amen? That's the same God. You see, the foundational call of faith was based on God's promise. Go to Joshua 6:2. Joshua chapter 6, verse 2. Again, God reassuring Joshua. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thy hand Jericho and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. See, folks, our call of faith is based upon the promises of God. And this is why in our church, in America here, we stand, and many reasons why, but this is one of the reasons why we stand on this old-fashioned King James Bible. We believe it is God's preserved word to the English-speaking people. We believe that. Eh? Do we believe that or not? We believe that. And listen, when people start messing with the text of the Bible, I'll tell you exactly what happens. People say, well, I wonder if that verse is really supposed to be in there or not. I wonder if I can trust that verse. I remember hearing that initially when I started to study this issue, and people say, well, the last 14 verses of Mark should not really be in there. They're not in the oldest manuscripts. By the way, oldest is not always best. Thank you. Amen. They're not in the oldest manuscripts. I got thinking about that, Brother Boss, and I thought, well, I wonder if John 3:16 is in the oldest manuscripts. I hope it is. You know what? That's exactly what that genders, doubt. And who's behind doubt? It's not God. It's not God. Amen. And so the foundational call of our faith is based on the promises of God. You know, you read this book and you take God at His word. God says this way, you can trust me. You can trust me. I will keep my promises. Oh, I'll tell you what, that's wonderful. Not only the promise of God's call, but notice also, go to Joshua chapter 5. We see the presence of God's call. Joshua chapter 5, verses 13 through 15. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho. Jericho was a completely walled city. It was impregnable. I'm trying to think of a modern comparison of it today. It would be like fighting along the Great Wall of China and having to crawl over it. It was impossible for anybody besides God to beat them. Verse 13 again. And it came to pass that Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him, and I love Joshua's boldness here, and said, art thou for us or our adversaries? What a warrior. Verse 14. And he said, nay, but as the captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship, and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place wherein thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. By the way, that's how you know that's God right there. If it was an angel, he would have said, you get up. You don't worship me. But that is God Himself right there. I believe a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ right there. And you say, not only, what are you trying to say, Pastor? Not only the promise of God's call, but I love this. The presence with God's call. You see, He not only promised him, but then He showed up. Listen, hey Christian, aren't you glad God does that in your life? I think of so many huge decisions I have made in my life where God just, where I said, God, I need your presence. I've got to have it. And it seems like, by the way, when we're at our lowest, God's so good to show up. And I remember hearing so many times in Bible college, don't doubt in the dark what God has revealed to you in the light. But I'm going to tell you this, Brother Jeff, when you're in the dark, it sure is nice when the light of the world snuggles up next to you. Amen. It sure is nice. The foundational call of faith. Many times, God's leaders, though they believe the promises of God's call, are still human, are still in need of encouragement, and God is so kind to give us the presence of His call. By the way, isn't it amazing when you place your faith in God's promise that His presence accompanies that? It's beautiful. The foundational call of faith. Secondly, we see the fulfilling compliance of faith. The fulfilling compliance of faith. Hebrews 11:30 again, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. We know the story. My kids could sing you the song, amen. I say to them, Eric, what battle did Joshua fight? And he'll say, the battle of Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, and the walls came tumbling down. Old junior church song, amen. How did that happen? By faith. By faith. Not only that, by faith that produced obedience. Folks, this mamby-pamby faith that doesn't produce anything is not faith. It's the faith that draws back to perdition. In Hebrews chapter 10. Faith without works is dead. You see, if you've got real faith on the inside, it will produce something. And in these folks right here, it produced obedience. God had told them how to make the walls fall flat. You say, well, what if it was me, Pastor? What would you do? Well, I'd probably call up the Joint Chiefs of Staff and say, we need a few bunker busters. That'll take care of them walls. Hey, you know what? If we get 8 tanks on each side of the wall, eventually, Brother Wedge, we'll take those walls down. What did God say? God said, I want you to march around the walls. For 6 days. Just march around the walls. And on the seventh day, I want you to march around 7 times. And then I want you to, after you get done with the 7th time, I want you to blow the trumpet, shout, and the walls are going to fall flat. I don't know about you, that's not a very good military strategy. But God said, I want you to obey me, and I'll show you how powerful I am. See, folks, God still wants us to obey Him. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Listen, God's worth obeying. Let me tell you a bit about God's methods. Back in Joshua chapter 6, God's methods are to be trusted explicitly. Verses 6 and 7 of Joshua 6. And Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said unto them, take up the ark of the covenant, and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. And he said unto the people, pass on, compass the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord. He said, listen, God's methods are to be trusted explicitly. Just do it the way God... Can you imagine if Noah said, you know, I think I'm going to build the ark my own way. No, God said, this is exactly how I want you to do it. By the way, you know God has so many plans for our life that He just wants us to do it exactly like He says. Do you know why they got in trouble in the book of Samuel, 2 Samuel, when the ark started tipping because they had put it on a new cart? And old Uzzah thought he was going to do God a favor, and he stuck his hand out, and God smote him and killed him. Why did he do that? Because they didn't do things the way he said. God still wants that. By the way, it's still okay to obey the Lord. It's still okay. I know in our flesh we don't like to obey anybody, but his methods are to be trusted explicitly. His methods are to be followed exactly. Verse 8, Joshua chapter 6, came to pass when Joshua had spoken unto the people that the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns passed on before the Lord and blew the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. Again, following it exactly, and then they're to be employed enthusiastically. Verses 9 through 11. And the armed men went before the priests and blew the trumpets. And the rearward came after the ark, the priests going on, blowing the trumpets. And Joshua commanded the people, saying, ye shall not shout nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout. And then shall ye shout. So the ark of the Lord compassed the city, going about at once. And they came into the camp and lodged into the camp. Ecclesiastes 9:10 says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do it with all thy might. You know, you don't have to walk around saying, yeah, I'm obeying the Lord. Wish I could have some fun. No, why don't you say, hey, praise God, I'm a child of the King. I'm obeying God. I think, Brother Boston, that when they got ready to blow those trumpets, man, they got ready. They got all that, started taking in air, and you just thought they were going to pop. They were doing it enthusiastically. Boy, that's the way the work of the Lord ought to be done. Again, the most spiritual one is not the one that looks like he's been eating lemons for a living. We could have a little enthusiasm, amen? Have a little enthusiasm. By the way, it doesn't mean you have to not be you. If you're not super enthusiastic, I don't need to see you skipping down the aisle or anything like that. But listen, God's work can be done with a smile and with our best. They employed his methods enthusiastically. You know what else? I love this. They continued expectantly. They continued expectantly. Verses 12 through 16. Many of you know the story. Of course, we have the story of Joshua and what God tells him to do, and they follow it. And Joshua rose up early in the morning, and the priests took the ark of the Lord, and seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord went on continually and blew the trumpets, and the armed men went before them, but the rearward came after the ark of the Lord, and the priests going on and blowing the trumpets. And the second day they compassed the city once and returned to the camp. So they did 6 days, and it came to pass on the seventh day they rose up early at the dawning of the day and compassed the city in the same manner seven times. Only on that day they compassed the city seven times, and it came to pass the seventh time when the priests blew the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. You know what faith, you know what the life of faith is? It's continuing on for God, expecting that He will honor His word. That's what faith is. Expecting God. By the way, aren't we to continue expectantly for He could come any day? I've told the story before. I'll tell it again. About the man. He bought a gold mine. He saved and he was convinced there was gold in there. And Brother Cohn, he got in there and he got chipping away at ore and chipping and went deeper into the different parts and just seemed like he wasn't getting anything. He's chipping. Finally, he said, this is ridiculous. Nothing is here. And he sold it. And just, I believe it was a week later, where that man had been digging and chipping, they found the largest gold vein in North America. You know, folks, the Bible says in the book of Matthew, when the Lord cometh, will He find faith on the earth? Don't quit. We're too close to the end to quit. Some of you have been walking with God for 40, 50, 60, 70 years. You know what? I'm not worried about you quitting, but just so you know, don't quit. Your pastor doesn't want you to quit. We're too close to the finish line. And when we hear that trumpet blow, we'll be glad we didn't quit. The Bible says there'll be some that'll be ashamed at His coming. I don't want to quit. I don't want to be like that and say, you know what? I've served God. I've forsaken all and followed Him. I've come to the city of Jackson and I'm just going to quit. And then have Him come the next day. How ashamed would I be? No, you know what faith does? To continue expectantly. We're to continue in the faith with obedience that God will do what He said. Number three, the foundational call of faith, number one. Number two, the fulfilling compliance of faith. Number three, the fruitful conquest of faith. Verse 30 of Hebrews 11 says, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. Look at verses 20 and 21. It says, "So the people shouted when the priests blew the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him as he took the city." Down to verse number 27. "So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was noised throughout all the country." Listen, folks, you know what? There's a fruitful conquest of faith. And we see it sometimes on this side of glory. We see how God bears fruit because of our faith and all God's people said. I think of Sheila, you're here tonight, and Mrs. Howland is here tonight. And Mrs. Howland exercised faith many years ago in teaching a little Sunday school class. And Sheila was in that class. And she got saved. How about that? That's a, you got to see a little bit of that fruit here on this side, Mama Howland, but you know what? You know where the fruit really is? It's on the other side. That's where we get to meet all those people. That's where we get to meet that person who worked at the gas station. And he comes up to you and says, "Jim, right? You don't know me. But I used to work at the Marathon station in Jackson. And you came in one day and you gave me one of these little pieces of paper. And on the back it says how you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven. And I read it. And I trusted Jesus and that's the reason I'm here. Oh, and by the way, Jim, let me introduce you to my family. They're here too. And let me introduce you to my neighbor. They're here too. And folks, I believe the first billion years of heaven is going to be testimony time. Introduction time. Just getting to meet people. It was the fruitful conquest of our faith. You know what happened when they trusted God? God did exactly what He said He would do. The walls fell flat. Hey, you know why? You know what God wants to do with the Jerichos of your life? He wants you to trust Him and allow Him to make the walls fall flat. He wants you to see that. Encamped along the hills of light, ye Christian soldiers rise. And press the battle ere the night shall veil the glowing skies. Against the foe in veils below, let all our strength be hurled. Faith is the victory we know. That overcomes the world. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. Through faith, we can see miracles happen. Through faith, not of our own doings. The children of Israel could have never conquered Jericho. Just wasn't going to happen. Wasn't going to happen. But they trusted God and God did it for them. God wants to do the same for us. Father, thank You for Your goodness to us tonight.